Welcome to The Path from Legacy Systems, an agency's playbook to migrate, update, and modernize. Today's panel is sponsored by Iron Bow Technologies and Dell Software. Here's your host, Tom Timmon.
Our guests today are Gary Bartlett, the Chief Information Officer at the Postal Service Office of Inspector General, Paul Tibbetts, Deputy CIO for Architecture, Strategy, and Design at Veterans Affairs, Ryan Sobel, Director for Virtualization and Secure Mobility Solutions at Iron Bow Technologies, Keith Trippi, Executive Director for the Enterprise Systems Development Office at Homeland Security, Mike Parker, Deputy CIO of the Treasury Department, and Paul Christman, Vice President of Dell Software Public Sector. Great to have you all this morning. Let's get right into it. Let's talk about the current environment of the federal desktop. We've got the impending end of life, really end of support for Windows XP. What does your environment look like right now? Why don't we start with Postal Service, Gary?
So we just pretty much finished up our migration to Windows 7 within the last 3 or 4 months. We've got a couple of XP holdouts because of compatibility issues, but our two-year effort finally just came to a conclusion.
Okay, and what about VA, Paul?
We're 80% completed on our migration to Windows 7. We would anticipate finishing well in advance of the end-of-life date, the support date for Microsoft. So we're doing full desktop encryption at the same time.
So what I'm hearing implied is that this is not something like one day it's XP, the next day it's Windows 7.
No, absolutely not.
All right. Well, there's application dependency issues that you have to work with. So far, we've identified around, or we're tracking or have analyzed around 350 applications. About 50 of those still look like they may have some dependency on XP in some way, shape, or form, or lack of compatibility with Windows 7, one way or the other, however you want to look at it. Those issues are going to have to get addressed as we go through this. So far, we haven't found or don't anticipate any insurmountable obstacles, however, in doing so, but there's a lot of work. There is a beginning and end point. It's not instantaneous. You don't send it out as a patch. We were discussing earlier, there's a big end user impact because the whole screen metaphor is different. So suddenly what you could find easily now you have to search for.
All right, we're going to get into some of those migration and legacy app issues also. I want to come back to the vendors after this question. Keith at Homeland Security at the information sharing environment, what is the environment for your users?
So at the department, we're a very large organization, and you can look at it as a post-merger acquisition, 10 years old. So we have really, seven major LAN infrastructures that are managed by the different components and the operating components, headquarters, if you will, being the eighth. Each one of those LANs have a different, desktop environment. The bulk of our users, yes, we are leveraging capabilities around XP, but we're all in that process of migrating and upgrading. We do have a footprint of Vista that's out there as well at one of our components, and we are in the process of doing those upgrades. I would love to be able to say what I have today will be gone tomorrow and onto the new thing, but our challenges at Homeland are very similar to the other challenges at whether you're a federal agency or a very large private sector. You've got legacy applications that there's a challenge, and there's some work that it takes to go through each one of those, get them cleaned up, get the compatibility right before the migrate happens. So we're in the process of doing those upgrades, and we're also looking at, and I think we're going to touch base on that pretty soon, about how we're going to try a virtual approach and a virtual desktop. So it's not just going to be this desktop for that desktop or this laptop for that. We're looking at a combined joint strategy on how we're going to help modernize our mobile workforce.
All right, so half caterpillar, half butterfly at this point. What about Treasury, Mike?
Within the department, we have, of course, Treasury Department and the bureaus. Within the department, we are in a Windows 7 environment, and we're actually developing enterprise infrastructure utilizing two of our data centers that have existing capacity. Our long-range goal is truly to merge to thin client and perhaps zero client solutions in the future. We've made a tremendous push over the last year in terms of some of the bureaus migrating to Windows 7. I'd say we're just a few months away from truly declaring success.
Okay, and I haven't heard much about Vista. It seems like an XP to 7 is the leap that most agencies made. Would you agree? All right, Ryan Sobel of Iron Bow, what does it look like across government from your perspective as a vendor that sees a lot of agencies?
Yeah, thanks, Tom. So really, at Iron Bow, we have the benefit of looking into many different agencies out there, whether they're on the civilian side or on the Department of Defense side, on the intel side. And so we kind of see it all. And, you know, we see many folks out there on XP, of course, looking to go to 7, making that leap from Vista to 7. And really, you know, what we always kind of advise is, you know, have that strategy in place. And, you know, and that goes along with any type of technical project that you're about to embark. Have that, you know, that technology, that strategy in place on how to go about doing that. You know, if not, and you kind of make the leap, and without taking users into consideration, applications into consideration, you may wind up doing that Band-Aid approach, which we call is basically just you know, really taking that leap without a strategy and then having to go back and then reevaluate your structure in order to move forward. And that's where that Band-Aid approach comes on, which we want to try to avoid.
Okay, and Dell Software's Paul Christman, what's it look like from your perspective?
Well, I'm going to reinforce and reiterate what the other panelists have said. I think we're nearly done. Most agencies that we talk to and help in this endeavor have clearly begun, and many are nearly done, as the panelists have already said. It's that last mile. It's that last 50 applications that Paul was talking about. It's those last real challenging, gnarly, bad applications that maybe somebody wrote and really didn't think about too much, and it's really resistant to change. Those are forcing some folks to either rewrite the applications or to consider other alternatives, as some of the other panelists have mentioned, thin clients, virtualized clients, as a way of getting around that compatibility problem. But as Ryan was saying, it's about the applications, it's about the user's experience, and it's about having a value at the other end rather than just saying, okay, Microsoft is making us change, we have to change, and we don't have a choice or benefit. We're trying to help our common customers make that move. We're trying to automate as much as we can for the routine, and then when we really get down to the challenging parts, work with straight-up services offerings to try and get that last mile done.
All right, so Paul, let's go back to VA for a minute. You said there's 350 apps involved here. Some of them are okay moving forward, some of them are not. What's your strategy for evaluating them or deciding when you decide, sorry, it's gone?
I would have to say it's a very much a tactical kind of roll up your sleeves question. It depends on the app itself, the technical characteristics, on, you know, depends on the use case, what's it being used for, what's the volume of use from the perspective of business volume, business transactions, is it still you know, high demand, high viz, critical app or not. So I can't say that we have one strategy that we're going to try to use for 50 apps. It's find each one, analyze each one, and figure out what the best course of action is for that one, and go to the next one.
Yeah, so you haven't turn them all off and see who screams or anything like that?
No. Well, that's actually not entirely true either. Actually, we did do a little bit of that as well. I was part of the oversight group. There were two of my colleagues and myself with a steering committee for renegotiation of the Microsoft Enterprise License Agreement. And as a consequence, because the period of performance was coming up, the end date. So as a consequence of that, we were forced to look at a one-time true-up cost based on the actual utilization, right? So using the tools available to us, largely in the case of Microsoft SCCM, we looked at utilization of all the products that had been deployed. We at VA had been using a standard image for everyone, for all endpoints, a standard image. Everybody got everything. And so we looked at utilization, and it turned out for Visio and Microsoft Project, based on the tool, the data derived from the tool, about 90% of those apps over the period of time looking backwards that we set it for, I think, was 90 days. Over that period of time, there was no use, zero indication of any
and
use.
And you were paying the licenses.
For 90%. So we deinstalled, just based on that, we deinstalled 90% of those applications that met that criteria. Not one peep from anybody.
All right.
Zero.
So Gary, at USPS, same experience. I mean, did you find that it's also an opportunity when you migrate operating systems to look at applications and maybe have a more up-to-date strategy there?
Oh, absolutely. So we've put in place some kind of, I guess, checks and balances to look at who's getting what applications, looking at the licensing. We were going through the same thing with a Microsoft TrueUp, looking for things for usage. And we also took a hard look at a lot of our in-house apps. because some of our incompatibility were legacy applications that have been developed in-house. So we started looking at which of those apps we ought to just stop development effort on and look to replace. So that's kind of where we're at right now, is going through app by app and looking at the things that we ought to get rid of.
And Mike, of course, at Treasury, you have this diversity, almost like Homeland Security, of this wide diversity of agencies that make up the Treasury Department, everything from IRS to alcohol, tobacco, firearms. And am I right about that? Yeah, still in there.
Tax and trade, TTV.
Tax and trade, that's right. I always get those two mixed. What are you seeing with applications? Is there any commonality, or do you have to go bureau by bureau? How's that all work?
Well, you do have to go bureau by bureau, but one of the things we are doing, as I mentioned, we're establishing an enterprise infrastructure for the department and the bureaus. And we're really taking a look at cloud opportunities, whether it's vendor-hosted, a private cloud internally, or a hybrid approach. In fact, we're in the process of going down all three avenues. You know, prior to the mandate, we had already implemented web solutions in a commercial cloud. Within the enterprise infrastructure in our private cloud, we've already moved several web-based solutions, and we're in the process of looking at others. Really, our first step in looking at applications is to determine what is the security profile. Really, what are the high security requirements, and are there any unnecessary dependencies that we need to eliminate? Because as you eliminate those dependencies, then you free up more opportunities.
All right. So the cloud-first policy then has really played into what you probably would have been doing anyway.
Yes, it has. In fact, we started down that route long before the mandate, and it really validated our plan.
All right. And so Keith Trippi at Homeland Security, it's a new and old at the same time, mm-hmm. kind of like Treasury. And you do have, this wide diversity of missions and functions. What was the application environment looking like, and what are you doing about it as you look toward migrating away from, expiring operating systems?
Right. So as part of our strategy, we've been on this road now for a few years, moving from asset-based culture, moving to a service-based culture. It's probably similar to what we're talking about here today and what others are doing at the other agencies. Desktops are no different. I don't know if I'd want to be in the desktop business 5-10 years from now. The laptop business, that's changing as well. And we feel like we're part of the early wave in the government that is looking to move away from that and move into, when we say VDI, virtual desktops. We're also looking at, through a customer segmentation, of saying, well, who are our customers that are out in the field? A Border Patrol agent or a TSA agent out in the field, they have different needs than someone that may work within the Beltway. And an executive have different needs. Some folks are more producers of content. Some folks are more consumers of content. So we've developed a methodology that says, based on these profiles, these are the types of users that we have. We have different pricing models in place for our virtual desktop capability, which we now have about 1,000 folks that are out there right now that are piloting across the department, and we're moving out on that. Coupled with that is our mobile device management strategy, where we're going to provide, secure mobile services on the endpoints. Because the desktop of the future isn't going to look even remotely what it looks like today, 5, certainly 10 years from now. There are folks that may come in and they may only have, say, what is today a tablet, may morph into other things in the future, but they're not going to sit down with a desktop or a laptop. They may have a thin client. They may have a thin client and a smartphone and a tablet if you're an executive, or if you're an office worker, you may just have a thin client. And that helps support our strategy around creating a mobile workforce to help do COOP and telework,
sure,
and these other initiatives that are important for the department.
So that sounds like a lot of diversity. Ryan, from your perspective at Iron Bow, how does agencies that want to do this, to have that wide diversity of offerings depending on the user, keep it all manageable and simplified?
Yeah, that seems to be the question out there. So really, I mean, there's no right or wrong way on how to go about doing this. It's really more of looking at your agency and saying, okay, what type of users do I have out there? Looking at the users, looking what their needs are, looking at the infrastructure, because the infrastructure definitely needs to be looked at as well. So when rolling out different types of end-user computing type environments, whether it be tablets, smartphones, thin clients, or portable thin clients, or laptops, you know, you really have to look at, you know, A, how to manage them, but it's not all about the device itself, right? That's just a means to an end. We want to access the data. We want to access through the apps, which is really all about the apps and getting to the data behind it, but more importantly, securing that, right? So we want to look at infrastructure. We want to look at device management. We want to look at, you know, it could be application management. It could be content management, how to manage that, how to secure that. We also want to look at the infrastructure, like I mentioned before. Wireless, that's key. If there's no wireless when you're on campus or on a base somewhere, then you may not be able to get to that sensitive information or that through that application. So we want to look at collaboration, which is exploding in the environment out there. I may want to have a face-to-face chat instead of a call, that a voice chat, that is, so I can have a video chat. And how do you do that? Right? How do you actually have that chat in real time with HD quality?
Sure, yeah.
And how do you secure that? So there's a lot that goes into, you know, all these different types of devices out there, how we communicate together. And, you know, like I said, it's really about the manageability and the security behind that.
And Paul, before we go to the break, from Dell software standpoint, even though there might not be one way to approach this, is there a methodology or framework that can be applied to make the situation somewhat predictable?
Yeah, Tom, there is. And I all of the things that the panelists have been talking about really reinforce the diversity and what Ryan's been talking about in the strategic approach to this. This is not for the faint of heart. I think one of the things that our public sector customers need to do is to rely on the experts. We as a company, as a software division within Dell, do this all the time. We've migrated and managed millions and millions of desktops. And while it may be a large project for DHS or for VA, this is our bread and butter business. We have subject matter experts that bring that strategic approach and best practices. And it is replicatable. It is something that can be turned into a decision tree that you can build out to a strategic outcome that's customized for your agency.
All right, we'll take a short break. We're going to get to servers after this. Our guests today are Gary Barlett, the Chief Information Officer for Postal Service Office of the Inspector General, Paul Tibbetts, Deputy CIO for Architecture, Strategy, and Design at Veterans Affairs, Ryan Sobel, Director of Virtualization and Secure Mobility Solutions at Iron Bow Technologies, Keith Trippi, Executive Director for the Enterprise System Development Office at Homeland Security, Mike Parker, Deputy CIO of the Treasury Department, and Paul Christman, Vice President of Dell Software Public Sector. I'm Tom Temin. You're listening to The Path from Legacy Systems, an Agency's Playbook to Migrate, Update, and Modernize. Today's panel is sponsored by Iron Bow Technologies and Dell Software here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
This discussion is sponsored by Iron Bow Technologies and Dell Software, partnering to deliver desktop innovation and efficiency to the federal government for more than 15 years. Iron Bow helps customers plan, integrate, and support leading Dell solutions to bring the power of the enterprise to the fingertips of government users. Dell and Iron Bow, technology solutions that support your mission anytime, anywhere. Visit ironbow.com to find out more.
Welcome back to The Path from Legacy Systems, an Agency's Playbook to Migrate, Update, and Modernize. Today's panel is sponsored by Iron Bow Technologies and Dell Software here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guests today are Paul Christman, the Vice President of Dell Software Public Sector, Mike Parker, the Deputy CIO of the Treasury Department, Keith Trippi, Executive Director for the Enterprise System Development Office at Homeland Security, Ryan Sobel, Director for Virtualization and Secure Mobility Solutions at Iron Bow Technologies, Paul Tibbetts, Deputy CIO for Architecture, Strategy, and Design at Veterans Affairs, and Gary Barlett, Chief Information Officer of the U.S. Postal Service's Office of the Inspector General. Great to have you all here this morning. And in this segment, we want to talk about the server and Exchange Server and those central services that are maybe not on someone's desktop. The software is, but the real heart of it is back in the back office there. And so we have the expiration of some of the Exchange software about to happen, lack of support. Also, we have this whole idea of cloud email now pending over agencies. Many have already made that move. So let's start with Veterans Affairs, Paul Tibbetts. What are you looking at to get away from the server room of the 80s?
We're looking at a big struggle. We have our Exchange environment right now is about 8 years old. It was initially sized to handle about 250,000 mailboxes. It fortunately or unfortunately is now handling about 500,000 mailboxes, despite that initial sizing constraint or estimate. It seems it's functioning quite well. It's tolerating that level of load far beyond what it is was initially spec'd to do. So our real pressure to migrate is, of course, driven by the support agreements and support and the aging of the hardware itself on which it runs, by the way. It's showing the wear of time, right? So we're trying to put we've just started, I guess, in engaging in what we call long-range planning in addition to the annual budget cycle. So we're now building the replacement cycles and resources necessary into the what is now our 16 through 20 plan that we're putting together. And we have a part of our migration strategy also is to gather requirements to better understand the use cases, what exactly we're supporting with the variety of end users we have. So we're looking at data retention, what to do with our PST files, availability, simplicity, lifecycle management, resiliency, tape backups, cost are all part of the considerations that we're looking at to put that strategy together.
And Mike, at Treasury, of course, you talked about already going toward virtualization and cloud and some of those modern techniques. What about the server backend infrastructure to support all of the users? What is your model there for where you're going next?
Yeah, our model for the future is to establish a virtualized infrastructure within our two computing centers. As we take a look at our email capabilities within Treasury and the bureaus, we have to take a look at the security requirements. Within the department, we have a high security requirement. Some of the bureaus, we have moderate security requirements. Therefore, we have to take a look to determine where can we best leverage email. As we continue to build out our infrastructure, we're actually going to have our storage capability established as a storage as a service offering. So truly, I think that as we progress over the next 18 to 24 months, we will have an environment that we can host many of the Treasury bureaus, depending on what their individual applications and needs are.
So you'll be partly cloud, partly self-hosting, and maybe a mixture of commercial and in-house?
Yes, we will.
So it's all of the above type of approach. Ryan, at Iron Bow, do you see that approach emerging where people pick the best option for the particular service instead of saying it's this data center or nowhere?
Yeah, so what we see in throughout the different federal agencies and across the Department of Defense, it's really as these mission critical software, as it's coming to end of life, the decision to move to a private cloud or a public cloud or maybe a hybrid cloud, it comes up. It didn't come up before, 10, 15 years ago. That didn't really come up. It was let's put it on, some physical servers and let's deploy a new type of software. Now that decision has come up, so that changes the game. That changes the atmosphere. It changes how you actually deploy systems today. Virtualization, that is almost a given, I would say, at any agency. They're either there or looking to expand on their virtualized environment from the server. But it's really, do you go to a private cloud, a public cloud, or maybe a hybrid cloud? And that will also help determine and drive your strategy on where you're going to go in terms of upgrading that mission-critical software, whether it's Exchange or XP, whatever that might be, but that's going to help determine your strategy and where you actually go.
And Keith, at Homeland Security, what are you looking at in terms of getting past the current infrastructure that, as we all know, is aging and old machines and old software?
Well, that's a great question. I appreciate the dialogue. Our journey is probably similar to what Treasury has been doing for a while now and VA and others. We started with the data center consolidation about, more than 5 years ago. And we've consolidated, many data centers and moved the old infrastructure out. Some we did lift and shift, some net new. And we moved it into our two primary enterprise data centers. And really what that did was that positioned us to say, okay, when this cloud or ubiquitous IT concept came along, it positioned us to take advantage of it. It was a very simple decision on our part. There were financial constraints. There were better operating capabilities, reduced time to market, all the typical reasons that folks are getting into this ubiquitous IT. So what we did was a few years ago, we came up with a strategy, and it was very simple. Secure systems, go goes into our private cloud. Non-sensitive data goes into our public cloud. It was that simple, and that's about where we were 3 years ago. Since then, we've deployed 12 services, cloud-based services, and we have over 100,000 folks in our secure email environment because we did need those additional security controls at high. At the same time, we also have our public cloud where we host information sharing that we do with citizens around hurricane data, travel data, boating safety, and others that are in the mission for the department, and that's in our public hosting environment. So there's a wide range, and basically what's happened is we have a partly cloudy approach, for lack of a better term. Some stuff will be cloud and some stuff won't.
All right, and Paul at Dell Software, you mentioned earlier that you've moved millions of desktops. How do you move millions of servers and Exchange servers and back-end information infrastructure?
Well, that's really where we come in with our expertise in software tools, because the volume that needs to be done by these different agencies is truly overwhelming if done manually. And one of the things we try to do is drive the cost out, through automation and repetition of best practices. If you look at the volume of information that needs to be moved with a simple Exchange server upgrade or even an Exchange server consolidation, if you do it improperly, it impacts users immediately. They are on the phone with you 8 o'clock in the morning the next day, and that impacts customer satisfaction and trust in IT. That's really the downside of doing these migrations, is it's all of the user satisfaction. So we approach it from a very disciplined practice as well as product and automation to drive out costs. The expertise that's gathered over the legacy of 15 years within Dell Software doing this every single day for the largest organizations in the world, not just public sector, but private sector as well, has really brought some expertise and some elegance to the process, which otherwise could be really damaging.
All right. And Gary, at USPS, are you partly cloudy also, like Homeland Security?
We are partly cloudy. In the past year, we've taken every new system that we've brought online has been cloud hosted. They've been things that, from a security perspective, were low threat, so we felt comfortable hosting those things in the cloud. We're in a pretty good position right now. We've got over 400 servers that are already virtualized. We have very few servers that are no longer virtualized. So as we look to migrate in the future, things like email, those types of things, becomes much easier to migrate. And one of the things that Paul had touched on is we now, when we contract things out, it's no longer, hey, give us the hardware and we'll do all the work ourselves. We now go to our partners in industry and rely on their expertise to really come in and do the work for us and partner with us during those transitions so that we're not just trying to do it ourselves and we can rely on the expertise that they have.
So is it a leap of faith to move virtualized applications into a cloud? Because in the old way, here's the server. You could almost pick it up and say, this is the Visio application. You can't say that with virtualized. It's all, there could be 20 machines on one server, and you may have 100 servers, each with replicated copies of that. So is it a leap of faith because you can't see it and touch it?
So I think in some ways it may be a leap of faith, but I think it's really just a different way of looking at things. If you look at it more about the information and more about the service and less about the physical hardware, if you change that mindset, suddenly it becomes a much easier transition, I think, because now you're interested in moving the service and you don't really concentrate on the hardware aspect of it.
Paul?
Yes. I addressed Microsoft earlier, Exchange, but we have been on a long course with respect to data center consolidation. Half of the country is in two data centers and the other half we're migrating to additional data centers, so we're well into that. From a server virtualization perspective, to us, the business case looked rather straightforward, and we're well into that too. 50% of the about 50% of the servers that are eligible for virtualization have been completed already, and we're marching down the rest of that pathway. I guess with cloud, though, there's a little bit of a different story for us. We kind of view those as serial steps: virtualization, cloud. From our research, it becomes, by the way, Paul mentioned driving out cost. From our research, it's not at all clear that the business case on cloud is a given. there's plenty of evidence right now in the literature that says the economics just have not worked out as initially anticipated, despite the nifty technology approaches that one might find available to use. So part of my responsibility at the VA is to drive that consciousness of cost into what we do. And that business case, I think, requires a lot of study yet. One other point I want to make on cloud for us is that even where we're not in a FSMA high situation, for the purpose of litigation hold or other investigative purposes, the IG has imposed on us, 75-year data retention period, mm-hmm. and number two, the right to seize the equipment on which any VA data is running. So we've now had to kind of step back from the whole cloud question, at least commercial cloud. Step back from the whole commercial cloud question and say, exactly now, how can we deal with these IG requirements and general counsel requirements and still try to take advantage of cloud on top of now trying to deal with the economics of the situation?
Yeah, 75 years. That makes you think twice about the vendor you pick, I imagine. And Mike, so you have shared services, you have cloud. Treasury has been, or parts of it have been, a shared service provider. How does shared and cloud and virtualization come together at Treasury?
They fit very nicely. And you know, it truly does come down to three elements, you know, planning, business cases, and governance. I mean, those elements generally lead to good outcomes. And what we are doing is we're truly taking a look within the department at every opportunity to determine, does it make sense? Does it make sense to go to our internal private cloud? Does our commercial cloud offering make sense? Should we pursue a hybrid approach? You know, what we've done within the department is we've really expanded our definition of shared services, because it's everything that we can share. We can share applications. We can share technical capability. We can share processes. In fact, we've done it. One of our recent success stories truly is to develop an application that it's truly an 80% solution for Treasury and the bureaus. Doesn't provide all the bells and whistles, but yet the bureaus can take this application and modify it to meet their own needs, rather than building it from scratch. What we try to do is take a look at, is there a capability that we can first leverage? If not, is there a capability that we can modify? And our last option is to build new.
All right, yeah, Paul, I want to follow up with you on that question. The business case first, even though something maybe you can do technically at high speed, do you help agencies, or how do agencies help make sure that it's the right thing to do, even though it can be done technically?
I think that the biggest sort of red herring in this whole question about migrations, whether they're desktops or clients, servers, email, whatever we're talking about, the biggest red herring is looking at the transition costs. And we do help reduce those transition costs, but I think that the biggest lesson learned is it's like the teaser rate on a credit card. They want to get you over. They want to get your balance. And then once you get there, you realize the cost of management is absolutely crushing. And it's that migrate once and manage forever mentality that if we just focus on the transition costs, although that is something that we should try and reduce, it's the management. It's the ongoing management. And that's where I think the devils are in the details. And Paul, to your point, on the cloud, or whether it's virtual or hosted, or whether it's a private cloud or a public cloud, it's in the ongoing management of that environment to serve the mission. We at Dell Software are trying to help with that, but we often get very, very frustrated with customers and clients who are fixated on just the cost of the migration and the transition. And that's really, I think, short-sighted, and it's gotten a lot of people excited about the cloud. But as Paul said, they're very disappointed in the long-term ongoing costs of management.
So you really have to model that before you make that transition step.
You have to look at whether you have the expertise to transform the way you manage your IT. And cloud isn't right for everything. Cloud is an option. It's an alternative. But if you use it exclusively and in the wrong environments, it is absolutely more expensive than doing a simple physical server setup.
All right. On that note, we're going to take a short break. Our guests today are Gary Barlett, the Chief Information Officer for Postal Service Office of the Inspector General, Paul Tibbetts, Deputy CIO for Architecture, Strategy, and Design at Veterans Affairs, Ryan Sobel, Director of Virtualization and Secure Mobility Solutions at Iron Bow Technologies, Keith Trippi, Executive Director for the Enterprise System Development Office at Homeland Security, Mike Parker, Deputy CIO of the Treasury Department, and Paul Chrisman, Vice President of Dell Software Public Sector. I'm Tom Temin. You're listening to The Path from Legacy Systems, an Agency's Playbook to Migrate update, and modernize. Today's panel is sponsored by Iron Bow Technologies and Dell Software here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Federal initiatives are mandating the adoption of new technology. Legacy platforms are being retired. Older applications need updating or replacement. You need solutions. Dell Software and Iron Bow Technologies work together to help you assess your options and modernize your IT, meeting your mission while reducing costs and better serving your users and constituencies. For information on migration, consolidation, and effective management of physical, virtual, and cloud environments, visit software.dell.com.
Welcome back to the Path from Legacy Systems and Agencies Playbook to Migrate, Update, and Modernize. Today's panel sponsored by Iron Bow Technologies and Dell Software here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guests today are Gary Bartlett, the Chief Information Officer at the Postal Service Office of Inspector General, Paul Tibbetts, Deputy CIO for Architecture, Strategy, and Design at Veterans Affairs, Ryan Sobel, Director for Virtualization and Secure Mobility Solutions at Iron Bow Technologies, Keith Trippi, Executive Director for the Enterprise Systems Development Office at Homeland Security, Mike Parker, Deputy CIO of the Treasury Department, and Paul Christman, Vice President of Dell Software Public Sector. I'm your host, Tom Temin. And we've talked about moving to a new desktop type of world. We've talked about server and back office infrastructure. And we touched briefly on something I want to return to with a little more depth, and that is the idea of a new IT business model to support all of this. And Keith, earlier you mentioned the idea of moving from assets to services. Build on that a little bit for us.
So I have a friend of mine that sent me a picture a few years ago, and it was a picture of him hugging a big server rack and big smile on his face. Over the past 6 months, he asked me to blur his face out. He can keep the picture, but blur out the face. That's a big cultural shift that's happening in the government. It's exciting to be in the federal government right now because that kind of change is happening. We're talking about moving from building a plane. We have planes now. We don't need the folks over in Kitty Hawk. To buying a plane ticket. And that's what's happening right now. So what's exciting from where I sit in the organization is we're able to help support that. And I call it part of the healthy IT diet. So the movement from building servers to buying services, enabling DevOps capability, which allows us to build, test, and deploy in the same day. We're not there yet, but that's where we're going. It's transformational in the way we can deliver value to citizens. Pay for only what you use, right? Today, we pay for a lot of things as assets and sunk costs, and we spread those costs out. It'd be really nice to, just like your utility bills at home, you only pay for what you use. And then a simple way to kind of wrap this up is imagine a world in the future where CIOs partnering with our business and mission executives, just like you do at home. You go to Amazon.com to buy a CD. You go to eBay to buy a used golf club. What's behind there? Commodity IT services. Across the federal government, ubiquitous IT. It will transform the way the government delivers value to citizens. So that sort of vision of the future is exciting to think about, and we're heading that direction.
So Paul, at VA, pay by the drink, use the capacity you need. What's the model you're looking at in terms of the business of IT?
Well, we certainly espouse that as a medium to long-term vision and trying to get there. But I guess we're most concerned right now, while having that end state in mind, what are the tactical steps we need to take along the way and what's practical, right, what we can do now. For background, I'll tell you, we have the most empowered CIO in federal government. The CIO in the VA owns all of the IT people, all the contracts, all the entire IT appropriation. All for one CIO, very operational job. And with that comes up a whole bunch of responsibilities. However, one of the things we're reassessing from a business model perspective, let's say, for example, end user devices, given that now we have, we the CIO of VA, can control the data and can control all the back end systems and can control telecommunications. Well, if that's true, then we're going to sit, we are now going through the debate, well, does the CIO really need to control end user devices at all anymore? Why not just get those off of our radar entirely and get them out of sight of the IT appropriation? And whether that be the end user customers who buy them then on their own as an appetite control mechanism, or maybe even some BYOD if that works out to be the case. I'll go one step further, and one of the questions we're thinking about is, well, if we control the data and we also have a corporate data governance process to look at management of enterprise data assets across the department. Well, now that all that's in place, well, then the next question is, do we really have to control the applications anymore? What difference does it make if pediatrician number one wants to measure the baby's head first, but pediatrician number two wants to measure the baby's legs first? Who cares, as long as we have absolute control over the measurement data? So when you think of workflow like that, it's no longer clear to us that it's an absolute imperative for us to control and own the applications either. From an innovation perspective, we're looking at working very closely with open source in order to provide sort of a source of intellectual stimulus to us to get a broader community of people building stuff that we might not have dreamed up. And then lastly, I'll say from an innovation perspective and looking at new business models, our traditional approach in the VA is to look at what I'd call requirements pull. Well, we have a VA Center for Innovation, and what we're trying to build into that now is a specific IT component, wherein that IT component will actually look at technology push. For example, what value will IPv6 bring to the department? So we have we see a near-term future of both requirements pull and technology push with respect to, particularly the technology push, is to carry us down that innovation pathway.
Okay, and Ryan, looking across government again from Iron Bow's standpoint, is that what we see? Is that what you see is the change in business approach to IT while we're changing the technology approach?
Yeah, Tom, that's a great question. So yeah, there's a tremendous shift in technology from 10, 15 years ago till today, and even looking in the future. So, and the way that, you know, the business model is shaped around that technology or solutions out there has changed. It really has. And it's gone from, you know, paying X amount of dollars to using some sort of service where you may not be getting all the benefits of that service. You may not even be using half of that service, to more of a, you know, as a service type offering, whatever that service is. It could be, you know, computing, it could be desktop as a service, application as a service, whatever that is. Substitute the X in front of the service. So that as a service offering is ever increasingly popular. Looking across the different agencies, you know, what we do at Iron Bow is we sit down and we look at, you know, where were you today, you know, in the past, where are you today, where are you going to be in the future? You know, but, you know, the most challenging part of that is to understand your true costs. And I think we probably touched on that a little bit earlier. What are your true costs? And if you can acknowledge what your true costs are, then you can actually look at those different models and say, yeah, you know, this is the way I want to go as a service. That makes great sense, Keith, what you said about, you know, utility bills out there. I don't want to pay for a service that I'm potentially like not even using. I want to pay for what I'm just using out there. So we have to leverage that. So we have to look at the shift in technology. We have to look at the shift in the business and how they're run, the shift in the funding, the spending, and where that's going. And there is a shift out there, and we have to adapt with the times out there. So, yes, we have to look at that as a service offering as well.
All right. We'll go to USPS Office of the Inspector General. Gary, service-oriented type of approach to buying IT?
Absolutely. So it's been great in our organization. Our senior executives have really bought into this concept of let's look at getting access to information and not have long conversations about what box are you buying, you know, what brand name is going to be on that box. They've been really great at embracing this concept of getting access to the service, getting access to the information. That's really the goal and that's really the key. So as you progress on this thing, you start to uncover all sorts of things. Our legal department just awarded a contract, talk about getting things as a service, to bring some IT law expertise into the organization, something that we didn't have in-house. And as you look at migrating things to the cloud or dealing with cloud providers, there's a whole new set of legal questions that you need to address. So they actually went out as a service and got some IT legal service to help us as we do that migration. But that's a change in mindset for the organization to look at that kind of consumerization of that service.
All right. How about a treasury, Mike? What do you see ahead in terms of the business model for supporting IT?
As I mentioned earlier, we've already in the process of kind of moving towards a storage as a service capability in our enterprise infrastructure. We'd also like to provide infrastructure as a service and platform as a service. You know, when I look at how the government has changed, especially within the department over the last 2 to 3 years, the need for shared services, you know, the desire by the bureaus to truly leverage capabilities because of declining budgets, You know, the need is there, and the passion to do something different is there. In the past, we were stovepiped. Today, we're not asking questions about building our own. We're trying to find out how can we drive down costs? How can we get to market quicker? What can we do to make this a more efficient process for our customers?
All right. And, Paul, I'd like to get your perspective from Dell Software. There's another part of Dell that maybe does care what brand is on the box, but from the software standpoint.
We all care. So I think, Tom, I would agree. Dell as a company is struggling right now to transform, and that's part of where we are as a company, and we're responding to the business. The business is moving away from, I bought this box, I'm going to run this on that, and moving much more towards a service. So our company is transforming into more of a delivery as a service. We're seeing a very, very high uptake, even in our traditional hardware business, on leasing or financing, not owning, and this idea of life cycle as a hardware device, as a service, where the asset is not owned by the public sector entity. That on the hardware side. On the software side, what we're also seeing is we're changing the way we deliver our products. We're changing the unit of measure. In the past, we said we'll sell you a license, and that license would bound to that CPU. That's not the way it is anymore. It's I pay for megabyte per hour per month used. It's a transformation of how the IT is actually delivered and consumed. And if we, as a company, broadly defined, aren't responsive, then the customers are going to go elsewhere. But it's a business model transformation of how IT, broadly defined, is delivered into the marketplace. And cloud is a perfect example. It expands and contracts. The business model should rapidly expand and contract so that you all pay for what you use, rather than what you own. Not an ownership model anymore.
I think we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the ultimate user, in a sense, of all of what government does, and that's the citizens and the deployment of service to them via IT. So why don't we start with VA, Paul? I mean, what are you looking at in terms of having all this support, what it is you offer to the constituents, namely the veterans, but other people too, people in medicine and so on, that can be supported by some of these new business models and technologies?
Well, I guess I can do a flow down from the VA strategic plan to the business models to the applications to the data to the infrastructure. And at all levels, if you look at that cascade, we have considerations underway from the level of the secretary himself all the way down to our data centers to figure out how exactly to best offer that, let's call it multi-channel yet integrated single face to the veteran in some electronic means. So at the very top level, veteran empowerment and the assisting veterans to help themselves to become productive members of society as they leave the Department of Defense is a major element in our strategic plan. And of course, then that influences the business processes we have in place. From an app perspective, yes, we have claims processing. We have an e-portal now that enables veterans to submit their claims electronically, presumably even assisting them in creating fully developed claims at the time of submission, which greatly accelerates the processing of the claim. So on the healthcare side, Blue Button has been a huge success with Sure. respect to allowing veterans to access their own healthcare data as part of My Healthy Vet. So it's a major interest of ours to have that face, the electronic face to the veterans.
How about Homeland Security? I mean, that's a department, as you mentioned, 10 years ago it didn't exist, but in one form or another, it touches almost everybody nowadays.
Right. So we've got a lot of efforts going on there, and I think, you know, you started this by saying you'd be remiss. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about, again, back to the business, it's a pull economics, not a push economics. The pull economics is coming in from our citizens and from the consumer base and the new innovations in technology. So along those lines, mobility is one area that we are spending a lot of time and focus, and then the consumerization of data. That is a new trend that's happening out there where the government is providing more value to its citizens, everybody from census, really cool stuff. You go to census.gov and the visualizations they have, VA, others, USPS. And then at the department, we've got several things going on about how we're consumerizing our data, making it available for others to build services off of. Boating safety from the Coast Guard. CBP on customs and borders, you know, on going back and forth across the border. So the wait time. So that's now available for folks that are doing commerce back and forth across TSA at the airport. So there's information around the airports and the wait times. And then certainly FEMA doing some great work around emergency management and hurricane information and making that in a way that's now available. And we're building mobile apps that folks are going to be able to consume off of that. And then specifically at headquarters, how are we helping the components and the mission value to citizens? We're building a thing called the car wash. And the car wash is an ability for not only DHS, but potentially other federal agencies as a shared service, build your mobile apps, check in your code, scans for 508, scans for security, scans for quality. Within 5-10 minutes, you immediately get feedback, and through a continuous integration, continuous development environment, make those services available to the citizens faster. So got a lot of efforts going on in that space, and the consumerization of data and mobility are big drivers in the pull economics about where we're going.
Well, we've covered a lot of waterfront, all the way from the back office IT infrastructure all the way out to the citizens, but that is all the time we have. So I want to thank today's guest, Gary Bartlett, Chief Information Officer for the Postal Service Office of Inspector General, Paul Tibbetts, Deputy CIO for Architecture, Strategy, and Design at Veterans Affairs, Brian Sobel, Director of Virtualization and Secure Mobility Solutions at Iron Bow Technologies, Keith Trippi, Executive Director for the Enterprise System Development Office at the Homeland Security Department, Paul Chrisman, Vice President of Dell Software Public Sector, and Mike Parker, Deputy CIO at the Treasury Department. And we thank you for listening to The Path from Legacy Systems, an agency's playbook to migrate, update, and modernize.
Thank you for listening to The Path from Legacy Systems, an agency's playbook to migrate, update, and modernize. Today's panel has been sponsored by Iron Bow Technologies and Dell Software. If you missed any portion of this show, listen on demand at federalnewsradio.com, keyword legacy.
This discussion is sponsored by Iron Bow Technologies and Dell Software, partnering to deliver desktop innovation and efficiency to the federal government for more than 15 years. Iron Bow helps customers plan, integrate, and support leading Dell solutions to bring the power of the enterprise to the fingertips of government users. Dell and Iron Bow, technology solutions that support your mission anytime, anywhere. Visit ironbow.com to find out more.
Federal initiatives are mandating the adoption of new technology. Legacy platforms are being retired. Older applications need updating or replacement. You need solutions. Dell Software and Iron Bow Technologies work together to help you assess your options and modernize your IT, meeting your mission while reducing costs and better serving your users and constituencies. For information on migration, consolidation, and effective management of physical, virtual, and cloud environments, visit software.dell.com.